This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by BetQL. BetQL is your home for the info you need to make yourself a smarter better. NBA, college basketball, and the NHL, they got you covered. So just go to BetQL.com, promo code SGP30. That's BetQL.com, promo code SGP30 for 30% off. And we're also brought to you by Better Than Vegas. Better Than Vegas is the home for the avid sports bettor, providing insights, analysis, and free betting picks. Better Than Vegas, it's like YouTube for sports betting. Make sure to subscribe to our page so you don't miss a pick. SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. That's SportsGamblingPodcast.com/BTV. And we're also brought to you by BetterEdge. BetterEdge is the stock exchange for the sports bets. It allows you to buy and sell betting positions like the stock market. The best part is it allows you to bet with no VIG. That's right, no VIG. And that's legal in 40 states. So sign up at BetterEdge.com, promo code SGP, for a free $10 bet. That's BETTOR. Edge.com, promo code SGP. All right, welcome back, you D-Gens. This is Boston Capper with the God of Golf himself, Steve Shermer, to break down the DFS and betting side of the WGC Workday Championship. Steve, are you ready for this one, baby?
I am, but I don't think the tournament now is the main story, unfortunately, no. Based on a little story that happened today. And we probably should give a couple of comments on it, right?
Yeah, Yeah, we absolutely should. I mean, the fact that I have COVID is a huge story.
Yes, that is the most significant injury medical news today. That we are doing this podcast, and my co-host has the Rona.
Yeah, I popped positive today, so Steve, don't lean too close to the screen. I don't know if it transmits that way.
Yeah, I'm actually wearing a mask. So,
Yeah, so boys, it wasn't the pollen the other night. It was the COVID. Yes. But Tiger, man, I mean, how crazy was that?
I was in a meeting, and then
I know you were.
I heard my phone blowing up. And I'm like, what's that? And right. The golf world exploded with Tiger Woods getting in a car accident. It seems like, I mean, this guy's story, dude. I mean, it just
yeah. That, I mean, yeah. I know, but let's not speculate too much, right? Like,
no,
It was 7 a.m., right?
Yeah.
And word is that he was going to meet, he just played with Dwayne Wade and David Spade yesterday. And apparently he was going to play with two other, I can't remember now off the top of my head, the celebrities. He was going to go play with some, like two other athletes in the morning. But holy shit, man, there was no skid marks. It went across the other lane of traffic, and he was like 500 feet off the road. That is fucking wild.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to speculate. I'm only saying like, there's just been so many off the course things.
Oh my God.
And now you just add this to it. And I mean, I will probably find out eventually what happened. I hope it was an accident, but yeah, I mean, he is lucky to be alive.
Yeah. He
is it's a miracle. He didn't hit anybody else.
I mean, it really is cutting across two lanes of traffic like that, dude. It's fucking, that's nuts.
Yeah. So, I mean, wish him best. Not going to see him for a while.
Ever again.
Probably not. No. I think he was already rehabbing from the back.
Now he's going to have multiple compound fractures on his leg.
Yep. And so what is he not going to be doing for the next 6-7 months? Rehabbing that back.
It's going to be, yeah. Never mind the legs. The legs are going to take longer than 6 or 7 months.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So like, it might be it for him.
It's crazy. It really makes me appreciate the Masters last year.
Oh yeah. I mean, when I was watching SportsCenter, they showed him hugging Charlie and his kids. Yeah. I got some of the tingles and the feels, guys.
Yeah, man. Like, I mean, obviously he's not, thank God, you know, he's alive. You know what I mean? It's kind of like, it's weird to have, I can't think of anything in my lifetime. Well, I mean, I was a baby when Len Bias died, right? And then I was before, who's the catcher? Munson, right? For the Yankees, like an athlete who was still playing that was like a huge name in the sport died, right? Didn't get a retirement or anything like that. And so it's weird that, because lucky that didn't happen, but it's crazy we're not going to see him again.
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's Dale Earnhardt when you hit the wall. Oh, yeah, that was that was not a fun night when that, I'm a big NASCAR fan. If you guys read my stuff over at sportsgamblingpodcast.com, and yeah, I mean, that's basically, I mean, well, Dale Earnhardt died. I'm not going to compare that.
Right.
Yeah. But I mean, regardless, I mean, this was shocking that it happened. You know, as a human, I wish him best. So like,
yeah, golf, I mean, that's a dad, not, man. Right. You know, he's got two, he's got two small kids, right?
He's got two kids. You know, I mean, obviously we saw Charlie at the father son. Yep. I mean, you know, maybe this will be, maybe he can just take a step back and, you know, mentor Charlie now and, yeah, you know, just, you know, do that. But, I mean, unfortunately, you know, I mean, now this is really going to hang over the tournament.
Oh, yeah. Did you see that fucking asshole reporter who like blindsided fucking JT?
I didn't see it. I heard that. I saw the quotes from JT. I mean, he was broken up. We'll talk about JT in a little bit, but I mean, this is, unfortunately, I think is probably going to factor in some gambling angles.
Oh,
there are certain guys who, yep, are very good friends with Tiger that this probably is going to affect.
Well, that's the thing about playing armchair psychiatrist, right? Is it going to affect him negatively, or is it going to make him want to go out and crush the field?
I think for some certain guys, it's going to affect him positively and negatively, and we can't say that. But I think also too, like I was hoping to get some more hints about how the golf course is going to get played,
yeah,
and like how they're set up. Nope.
No, that's not. That's, I mean, absolutely not happening.
Yeah, there was something that came out yesterday I shared with the Slack channel that where they talked to Paul Azinger and Gary Koch, and they're both, I guess, members of Concessions. So they talked about the golf course and they say, listen, it's a very hard golf course for mere mortals, but you know, I mean, for some of these guys, it can be had. And I kind of take a little bit of issue with Paul Azinger said, because he kind of seemed very cavalier when he said, oh, well, if you just carry it 310 off the tee, you're fine. Well, like two players can do that. Like, like actually carry it 310 in the air, at 50 feet of elevation. It's not like they're playing in Mexico where, right, everybody can do it. So, you know, I think he made it sound a little easier said than done. Yeah. So,
right.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think Gary Koch put it a little better that I don't think it doesn't sound like they're going to really push the limit to this thing. It sounds like they're going to slow it down. They're going to have a little easier pin positions. I still think the greens are going to play pretty fast.
Okay.
So are they going to play fast like Muirfield Village? Probably not. I mean, that's 14 centimeter. Is it going to play like Bay Hill or Quail Hollow? That's more like 12 and a half, 13. Yeah, I think it will. Okay. And, you know, it's not going to be all that windy the first couple of days. That might give them an opportunity to maybe keep the green speeds a little faster. Now on the weekend, it's going to get a little windier. So then maybe they got to be a little careful with the greens and where they put the pin positions to make sure it doesn't get too crazy. But I mean, I'm still, and we'll talk about a couple of guys who usually do well on Bermuda golf courses that maybe might not do well here, considering like where they're going to be up against. But, you know, overall, I think my stance hasn't really changed all that much. You know, I think the only thing to talk about and maybe speculate on is does this favor a short hitter or a long hitter, in your opinion? What do you think?
So, I mean, I feel like distance always gives you an advantage, especially on a long, tough golf course like this. Mm-hmm. So, but he has, like you said last night, right? And I didn't think about it until you said it. Like, all right, so if these guys get into trouble or they decide to lay up, like, is it, you know what I mean? Like, maybe they're not taking driver out. Maybe it's not bomb and wedge. Maybe it's three wood and, you know, whatever, six iron or seven iron.
I mean, looking at this golf course in that, you can play it pretty safe around here. The only problem is you're going to have a longer iron into some of these really small, firm greens with crazy, right, undulations. Like, I mean, I could see, like, I think the good combo is a longer hitter like a John Rahm, mm-hmm, who hits a lot of three woods, but he can hit like 280, 290, you, yeah, know, maybe 300 if he gets some roll. He can keep it kind of in the fairway. And then he just hits such a high ball into these greens that he can be able to, like, get some, you know, access, or like Rory too. But, like, yeah, you know, I think about, like, the guys who you can take on this golf course with a driver. The problem is, and it's kind of a miracle, I'm not sure if there was a renovation that Jack did this, but like where some of the bunkers are and where the fairways pinch, it's like right in the landing zone of like carrying it like 305, 310.
And so, I think I read something. Obviously I have no idea. I read so much crap. I have no idea where it was, but that was on purpose.
Yeah, well, there you go then. I mean, I know he's made comments, I think, at Muirfield that he could basically complain that guys were just overpowering golf courses. So, I mean, so there are wide fairways short of all the trouble that you can safely land into. Once you go aggressive off the tee, the fairways narrow to about like 25, 30 yards. And then there like is really no room to miss. Like you have fairway. And then either you have the bunker to the right, or like you'll have a small patch of rough and then either a water hazard or woods. Yeah. So if you miss big here, you're done. You are either reteeing or you're just dropping it for a penalty stroke and you're going again. So I think, I do think long hitters do have the advantage because they can play a little better positional golf and still get out there better short hitter. But I think positional golf off the tee is still really important. So, I mean, I guess like the off the tee, you're going to look for guys who just have good control over it. They don't miss huge, you know, and you know, the guys who miss huge, we'll talk about them. I mean, the greens are really small. I know they're going to have safe pin positions, but I think they're still going to be tough to get at. So like, I think a lot of guys are going to be missing greens. So you gotta be able to scramble, especially from where they're going to be like chipping from, recent tee to green stats, the correlated golf courses, I said, yesterday, your Bay Hills, Quail Hollows, Torrey, Augusta, Riviera, like all these, like the premier golf courses, the top ones on the PGA Tour. And then, I'm not going to try and figure out what distance these guys are going to be hitting from. Cause I just, right. We don't know. And
we have no idea.
I could see like John Rahm and DJ take two different approaches, but they're both long hitters. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. All right, man. So, we have a pretty healthy range. Do we want to talk about who looks like chalk and who doesn't look like chalk?
First? Yeah. Let's do that first because, let's run that down before we start talking about players. So, honestly, like looking at the ownership percentages, everyone over $9,000 has doubled.
All about the same.
Yeah. And I think it's because it's WGC, you want to load up on quality players. And I think everybody's just kind of scattered across the board. So, so I think we should probably just move down to under $9,000. I mean, the names I've heard all week are Sung J M, Joaquin Niemann, Zalatoris, Scheffler and Cam Smith have some ownership too. I think Scheffler pops a little bit on the model, for Bermuda golf courses. I mean, Cam Smith was great last week with Riviera, tough green complexes this week. Yeah. I think that translates. Same thing with Matthew Fitzpatrick. I think people are just carrying momentum over to here. So, under $8,000, it's really two guys that pretty much everybody's been saying, and just looking at the projected ownerships is that it's Harris English and Ryan Palmer.
By a lot.
Yeah. I mean, English, because he's a good putter, good scrambler, he has the mythology of being really good in Bermuda. Palmer is because he played well at Torrey, played well at Muirfield Village, played well at PGA National. He's been striking the ball pretty well. We'll see if that holds up. I think there's some ownership on Ortiz as well, just because he's a good scrambler and putter. That's been kind of been beat over the head a little bit this week. And then Mark Leishman, the ball striking stats been pretty good. I gave the comp that these greens, like the surrounds, are a little bit like Royal Melbourne. They're kind of tough to like get up and down from. There's some sharp edges. That's where like an Australian angle can kind of go here too. And then under $7,000, I mean, Lance O'Griffin right now is sitting at like 21% ownership projected. And no, Abe Answer too is also high. And like, it seems like, I mean, all the PGA Tour guys, just everybody's rushing to the devil they know is better than devil they don't. And a lot of them just aren't very good, even for this golf course, but just because they see him every week, they're low on popularity. So
we'll talk about Lanto. Muniz and
it's all the PGA Tour guys.
Mackenzie Hughes. It is.
Yeah. Even Woodland's getting some.
Oh my God. EVR is showing like fucking almost
8%. Because you see them, but all these Euro guys, they don't know them, so that you don't want to use them. I mean, there is a little bit of merit to that we'll get to, but
like I told you, I was like, I'm going to need some help on these fucking.
Okay. Let's start digging into the golf then.
All right. So, like I said, pretty robust, over, 10K, right. DJ, Rahm, Xander, JT, Rory, Cantlay.
Right. I mean, do you want to start? Or do you want me to start?
I don't give a shit. Whichever.
All right. Why don't I start? So on paper, they're all great. I mean, just like last week, Riviera, like it's hard to find holes in anyone, but that blew up in people's faces. I mean, at least this week it's a no cut event. You don't have to worry about that. So why don't I go through the list and give a negative about everybody? I mean, it's like, there's no point in saying, well, yeah, DJ's great. You know, Ron's great. So
a I like negative it. On brand too.
So a negative on DJ. So like, I mean, like he plays Wilt Riviera and Augusta, but like at these other places like Bay Hill, like Memorial, Quail Hollow, he doesn't have that great course. I mean, he doesn't play it all that often, but like, I don't know, like some of these big Bermuda golf courses, or like some of the Jack Nicklaus courses, he just hasn't been very good at. He's kind of struggling with the putter too. You know, going back, he didn't putt very well at Century. He didn't putt very well at the Saudi International. He didn't putt very well last week either. So that's a little bit concerned if you're going to really, you know, faster greens, and he doesn't have the best track record on Nicklaus courses. I mean, capped off by him shooting what 82 at Fairfield Village last year. So
yeah, I was all over him that week too. That was fun.
Rom, I mean, we've chronicled that the putter hasn't been great.
Yeah.
I mean, the shame is like on these fast greens, he actually has one of the better track records in this field, but the putter just isn't really working too good for him. So, I mean, that's a negative. Like with Xander, I mean, obviously he checks the boxes across the board. Kind of like with DJ though, like other than like Augusta and Riviera, you know, his track record at some of these other places just aren't very good. I mean, he doesn't play them all the whole lot. So, I mean, it's fine, but it's not like anything to really write home about. And on faster greens, he has struggled. So that's a demerit there. I mean, JT, he's just struggling right now. The putter is not really working too good. The ball strike has been a little loose, and he just has so much stuff going on off the course.
Yeah.
He also struggles on faster greens. We'll see. I mean, Rory's probably primed for the bounce back, but he's not scrambling well. He's not putting well. So that's a big red flag here. And then with Cantlay, honestly, there's really not much to poke at. I mean,
what about three tourneys in a row with his back issues?
I don't think that's that big of a deal. It's gonna be warm this week. It's gonna be in the upper 80s.
It was a question.
That is a legit concern. I mean, there's not really much to poke at. I mean, if you want to poke at anything, I mean, I guess it's that. I mean, there would be a little bit of fatigue. I don't think his track record on Bermuda is that awesome. So, but that might be it. Like the other, like the short knocker ones, like some of the bigger ballparks, he's been okay. I don't know. I mean, just.
Yeah. I mean, what are you going to do? We're literally picking at like the top golfers in the world.
So if I had to choose three guys, it's Rom, Xander, and Cantlay. I mean, Rom, I think at some point he's going to figure out the putting. They had, at least on paper, the stats, they're not as bad as what they are. And he owns Jack Nicklaus golf courses. I mean, he won at Murfield Village and he finished second in Sherwood. You know, Sherwood is actually one of the Nicklaus courses that a lot of people forget that is actually a Nicklaus. And that leads me into Cantlay. I mean, Cantlay won at Sherwood and he also won at Murfield Village. So you got good Nicklaus track record there. I mean, he's a good scrambler, good putter. I mean, he had a bad Sunday, but he played a lot better Riviera than what he showed. And then I mean, there's some good putting regression for Xander that he could do. He didn't putt very well last week, but like, I think that can pick up this week. He's just tough as nails. And I think you need a tough as nails guy.
Xander is tough as nails?
I think he's consistent. And I think he's good for a golf course like this.
All right.
I think you were letting what happened at Phoenix really cloud your judgment.
I didn't like him prior. Because I didn't think
you
he was
don't like his name. That's why
I don't care about his name. A Celtic used to be Xander Xavier. No, it was Xavier. Never mind. But either way,
no, I think he's a tough golfer. I mean, he hasn't won, but I think there's a reason why at all these really hard golf courses and like big field events, like he's always kind of in the mix.
This isn't a big field event. This is a WGC where he shows up.
It's a WGC. What are you talking about?
So I when I was thinking big, I thought you were talking about like big fields, right? Like whatever. It's a shortened field, WGC, no cut, no pressure. Knows he's going to play the fucking weekend regardless. Like, I don't know. I don't know. Xander is like the opposite of what I think about when I think about a tough golfer. Really? Like, we are definitely on opposing views on that.
All right. So then who do you like then? I talked it up.
No, you're fine. I like Rom, right? Obviously. I wonder what's going to happen with JT. Bad. He was very close to Tiger. Maybe this is the shit that could get him to focus on golf because win one for the Gipper type shit, right? There's two guys who I really think about with that. And the next guy is in the next range. And I feel like maybe this is because he's been so wayward and had so much shit going on off the course. And obviously, I'm playing armchair psychologist. I have no fucking clue what I'm talking about. This is 100% speculation. Like, but I like, I think he'll focus in and try to do it that way. So I like JT.
I think he needs a week off.
You think so?
Yeah. He's going to take a week off at Bay Hill. He's not playing that. He'll play the Players in 2 weeks. I think he needs a week off.
All right.
And I think this is just some guys just reached their breaking point.
Yeah.
And between what happened with, he was caught in the hot mic, his grandfather, now Tiger's in the hospital. He is very close to Tiger. I mean, yeah, he plays all those events with him.
Yeah.
You know, they're buddies.
Dude, that putt when he threw down the putter and they like, oh dude, like what a great moment.
Yeah. So I think he's going to do whatever he can. I mean, I like him the least of this range anyways, because I don't like him on hard golf courses
anymore. Yeah. And that goes against a narrative that I've talked about before too. But so I'm literally just completely saying that I think this will get him to focus, get him to want to play well and win one for the Gipper. So he can take it and be like, this is for Tiger.
All right. So doesn't like Xander. So you don't like Xander. You don't think he's tough, but you like JT because you're calling him tough, even though you are definitely on the record.
I have never said JT is tough. I think this will make him focus and be able to forget the other shit. And he'll be able to focus on golf and not the other shit that's going around.
All right.
I mean, those are the two I like. I don't particularly not like anybody in this range.
So let me ask you another question. This is roster construction. It gets pretty ugly once you get under $7,500. And if you go up to get Rahm and DJ, back end of your lineup is rough.
So yeah, it really is.
You really want to do that? My question.
No, probably not. But I mean, so if I'm making three lineups, why not throw one of those three in? But I mean, you have to be lucky.
I had a tough time even making Xander lineups.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, you're basically punting. Like you are. You're punting, right? I mean, that's literally what you're doing. You're punting at least one. In more reality, you're punting two, and you're trying to get somebody who has a decent scoring history or some Euro you know nothing about. And you're like, eh, sure, this guy sounds good.
Because he comes from a country you like, or you like the name. So
exactly.
All right. I think we beat this range up while we move on to the next one.
All right. So 9K range is pretty big, right? You got Bryson, top five Tony, my boy Hatton, Brooksy, Hovland, Berger, Reed, Webb, and Morikawa. Like, holy shit. What a 9K range, bro. Like
that is an all-star lineup right there.
I mean, holy shit. Like,
well, I think you should. I broke down the $10,000 range source. I think you should jump in.
Yeah, that's fine. So I really like Hatton. The only thing that worries me a little bit is the first time being over here in the U.S. He's fine on Bermuda. I don't know. But whatever. He, like you said, four out of the last 24 events he won. So I really like him. I like Brooksy too. I know he doesn't have a great history on Bermuda and in Florida, really, which is kind of weird. But it's a tough course. It's a long course. It's got all the top talent in the world. This is when he likes to pull out his dick and throw it on the table and say, I'm the best golfer. So these are the type of places that I like him in. I like Berger and I really like Reed. That was the other guy I was talking about as far as like Tiger goes. Like, this is a guy who he's a grinder. Like, he scrambles really good. If he's far away, if he has to chip, you have his chip on and make a 20-foot putt, then you have a pretty good feeling he's going to get up and down. He's a mentally tough golfer. Literally everyone hates him, and he still goes out and plays well. I mean, really the only two that I don't like in this area are Webb and Morikawa. That putting is just so bad. Like, I don't know how you go back to him right now. And Webb is, he played great last year. I know it's a Bermuda course, but it's super long and his irons haven't been that great since the restart. So,
okay. I mean, you didn't mention Bryson. That, do you like him or what's your take on Bryson?
I don't know. That is somebody who I am struggling with, right? As Namus said, struggling. Like, I don't know. That's why I asked you the other night, like, what was that Friday? What was that minus four? Was it just bullshit or was he, did he fix something? And you said it was pretty much bullshit. So it's like, do I really want to go to him on this course where we don't know what he's going to do? We really don't. At 9,900, like, I think I like him better in the betting markets than I do on a DFS where he could just have a shit fucking week. But I'd rather just lose some cash than blow up all my DFS.
All right. Well, I think I know what he's going to do, and we'll talk about him. And we'll talk about him later.
Okay.
We'll say my thoughts for later.
Okay.
He rolls into the betting section. So.
Okay.
Spencer. I mean, listen. I mean, So let's just go down the list. I mean, there are great names and everything. So, and I have a take on pretty much everybody. So with Tony, I'm a little concerned with him just coming off of Riviera and like the close call with that. And he hasn't had the best history on Bermuda. I pointed this out at Kapalua and he didn't play very well at all, but it's hard to get away from some of these ball striking numbers. And I mean, I guess if you want to poke holes in it, like, you know, the Bermuda stats haven't been that great. And he's not very good on fast greens. So, I mean, there's that. I mean, Haddon, listen, that's my boy. I love Haddon. I'm going to give a caution warning sign to everybody here because while about a year ago today, I cashed a Haddon ticket at 50-1. That was superb. And I was in on him throughout all the summer, the fall. I bet on him on every single major last year. And you know what happened? He missed the cut by a mile. And I guess I have a little bit of scar tissue with him because in these big spots, because everyone has Haddon outright. And as someone who was on Haddon before, it was cool to be on Haddon. Be careful. I mean, he is a hothead. This is a golf course that is probably going to piss a lot of people off. And besides Bay Hill, he doesn't have the best track record at some of those other correlated golf courses. So, I mean, while on paper he is great, there is really nothing you can poke a hole in. I have some scar tissue with him that makes me a little hesitant with him. I mean, I'm with you on Brooks. Like, I think I actually like him a little more in the outright market than DFS. But, I mean, the ball striking has been great.
You know, shaky.
The potting's a little shaky. I mean, it's been better than you think. I mean, he's at least gaining per round.
I test, homie. That's what I go by. So I'm
fine. I test, but I mean, he is playing better. Seems like he's over the injuries. I like him. I mean, Hoblin and Berger, I think, are my favorite in this range. I mean, just like, you talk about solid, consistent guys, tee to green. I mean, that's both of these guys. I don't think either of them are going to find too much trouble. You know, they're both really good iron players. I mean, Berger's a much better putter than Hoblin, but I think Hoblin's a better ball striker. That kind of evens it out. So I like both there. Patrick Reed. So I like him more in outrights than I do with DFS. And I'm going to give a little devil's advocate with Patrick Reed. So let's think about how he did at Torrey Pines. So he kind of blasted all over the yard. He went and found his ball, probably, you know, propped up the ball a little bit in the rough, gave himself a better lie. Then he hit it and then he went to go find it around the green, got him down for par. But if you're missing it like he did at Torrey, it's in the water or it's in the woods. Yeah, so I think it's going to go either one of two ways. Either he's going to be first or second, or he's going to be like 40th or worse. So I'm looking for outrights. But other than that, I don't really want to deal with him anywhere else. Like matchups, top 10, like, no. I'd rather just bet outright and hope he wins. And then DFS, because that can go really wrong.
Really fast
this week and
right
like that.
This is such a hot DFS week too because it's such a limited field. Everybody, like we said, everybody above 9K, the ownership's all spread out. I mean, you have to hit these guys down low. You have to.
Yeah, I mean, listen, like I understand the argument for Reed. That's why I bet an outright on him. But
right,
you have to also consider like if he misses, where is it going?
Yeah.
So I think he would stand the benefit if they really ramped up the golf course conditions. Like same thing with Brooks. I think the harder it gets, I think the more I like them, but
agreed.
Sounds like, I don't know. They might kind of pussy out on the setup. So we'll see. So Webb is getting a lot of talk this week because he's king of Bermuda, right?
I mean,
Bermuda play Webb. But the problem is that if you look at some of like the bigger Bermuda golf courses, like Bay Hill, like, I mean, Quail Hollow's been good at, but if you look at where, like, he hasn't putt very well at Bay Hill or Quail. And those run, those are pretty fast Bermuda greens. Like, he tends to see, like, really eat up the slower Bermuda greens, like Wailea, like Sedgefield, Sea Island, like the greens that run about 11 and a half to 11 on a stip meter, like that just are average speed. Like, they're awesome because, like, you know, he reads grain better than anybody. But when they get dialed up above like 12 and a half, 13, like they're going to be this week, he hasn't been quite as good. So, you know, I think he might be a little overrated. And you pointed out too, the ball striking just hasn't been there. It's not the same what he was last year. So I don't really like him that much this week. I think this is not a great golf course for him. And then with Colin Morikawa, like, man, like, you know me with my putting regression, but it's too bad.
It's too bad. I agree. It's not bouncing back yet. We need to see something under fucking four strokes lost around before I think it's even starting to get fixed.
Yeah, I mean, if he was at, like, I even think if it was like Sawgrass this week, where it's overseeded greens, like it's soft, like that's where I kind of would want to go to. But like, I don't think his putting woes are going to fix here. And I was talking to a guy in the Slack channel, like, I think there is some merit. If you want to bet Morikawa outright this week, I think you can do it. But, you know, I showed a list of what it takes to actually win events, and have to putt well. Like, you have to gain at least like 3 to 4 strokes putting over the course of basically 4 rounds. So you basically have to gain about a stroke per round putting. I don't think Morikawa is capable of doing that. I mean, the lone and at least like for most of those guys, they actually showed that they are capable of doing it. Now, Morikawa did do very well at Sony, but those are flat greens. Those are slow greens. It's not, you know, these are totally different greens. I mean, the only guy on that list who just came out of nowhere with a great putting week was Sergio, and it's because he's putting with his eyes closed and he hasn't done anything since. So can Morikawa just come out of nowhere? I mean, sure. But like, if you look at when he won last year, he came out of the restart and actually putt very well at Colonial. Those were quicker greens. And then when he won to Workday, those were a little, they didn't ramp up the greens that week. They were running about 11 and a half. So those are slower greens. The greens at the PGA Championship at TPC Hardin Park, they were running a little slower too. Yeah. So I don't like him on quick greens. I don't think he gets it fixed.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. Yeah, so we have the same two fades in the 9K. Other than that, I mean, pick your guy up there and play your flag, right? Like, plant your flag, yeah. Make a stand, who you like, go with him.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like for me, I like the middle of this range better than the top ends. Yeah. Top and bottom, I mean.
Yeah. No, I mean, so, well, listen, before we jump down into the 8K range, do you want to get an advantage over the sportsbook when it comes to betting? You need to download BetQL, the only app you need to make smart bets. BetQL has sharp data for college basketball, NBA, and the NHL. So if you want the inside edge for who the pros are backing, you need to check out BetQL. Plus, they have tons of sportsbook offers for your state. So head to the App Store or Google Play Store and download BetQL. And head to betql.com and enter code SGP30 for 30% off your first subscription. That's promo code SGP30 at betql.com. All right. So 8K range, homie. What we got?
Like, all right. Well, I mean,
it's actually kind of short this week.
Yeah, no, it is. I mean, usually I think there's like 12 or 13 guys. It's like, what, 10 maybe?
Yeah, I think so.
So 10, yeah. Yeah, I mean, like, I'm not going to be afraid of chalk just because these are good players, and if you're just fading chalk, you're fading a good player. So, I mean, I think Neiman and Zalatoris are underpriced just based on how good ball strikers they are. This is a new course for everybody, so you don't have to worry about inexperience here. I just think they're really solid, consistent players. Tee to green, that's exactly what I'm looking for this week, so I like them. And then moving back up to the top here, I mean, you're probably going to throw up in your mouth, but I actually really like Tommy Fleetwood this week.
Well, that is what side bet do we want to make? We'll figure it out. We'll put it in the Slack channel.
All right.
Fleetwood sucks. Socks. Okay.
All right.
So he should be in the low $7,000 range.
Maybe it's just because I'm looking at the Euro stats and those are in here, and you're just looking at it from the American side, 'cause you're a xenophobe and you don't like Englishmen. So,
I like Englishmen fine.
There you go. I mean, listen, like, he's really good on Bermuda. He's actually been putting pretty well. He's decent on fast greens. He's a solid ball striker. He's someone who I think can keep it between, you know, like the ham and the mustard or whatever that analogy is. So, so I like him here. Sungjae's weird. I want to like Sungjae, But then I remember what he did at PGA West when he hit it in the water. And then he took a hybrid from the bunker and hit water.
Hit water again.
I question his decision making, and he's not a very good scrambler. I mean, like, I like him because, like he did win a PGA National, and the dude didn't used to be this bad of a scrambler. Like, if you look at like his rookie year and like the first half of 2020, he was awesome around the greens. And I remember he was awesome at the Masters too. Like, he was hitting the ball all over the place in the final round. He was getting up and down for everywhere. I mean, on paper, he's a disaster around the greens. That's a big red flag, but I like him. The problem is he's very popular. So we'll talk about him later.
Him and Neiman are the chalky ones.
I have a bet on him creatively. Let's put it that way. We'll talk about later. And then I don't get the $9,000 range. I'm not really in love with the middle of this range. Like, I mean, Hideki is still a hard pass for me. Right. Like Morikawa, like, he's not going to figure out the greens this week. So that's a no for me. I mean, Max Homan, now we got him in Bermuda where he just, you know, Superman's going to take off the cape this week.
Yeah, coming off a win.
Blah, yeah, it just, yep, I yep. mean, I think tee to green, he's lost about half a stroke per round his last 50 rounds of Bermuda. Like, he just doesn't do well here. And I think there might be a little bit of a hanger. We'll talk about him later. There might be ways to fade him. I think, like, I mean, Cam Smith and Matt Fitzpatrick are basically the same player. Like, they're both good. They're short, little short. Well, Cam Smith isn't really exactly short. Yeah,
he's not short.
Yeah. I mean, they're scrappy ball strikers, decent putters, decent scramblers. I think of the two, I like Fitzpatrick. I mean, Cam Smith hasn't had a very good track record in Bermuda either. I know he won a Wiley, but that's really it. And that's not really like a golf course like this. And like on a couple of other, like, the bigger ballpark golf courses that I think this is akin to, he hadn't played very well. So I like Fitzpatrick better than Smith here. I like Scheffler too. I mean, what concerns me is that he's not a strong putter on fast greens. That's a big problem this week. And then Adam Scott's just kind of meh. You know, I don't really have a take. So
I'm off of Scott this week. No question about that. So the guy who I love in this, and I already put it outright on him, is Cam Smith. So follow my logic here, right? Okay. So the dude is a good sand player, right? He was what, 3 of 7 out of the sand on Sunday?
No, I mean, like, he was great. I think he gained 10 strokes tee to green, including like 4 around the greens. He was great.
No, but out of the sand, he was trash. No, he was I know I gotta fucking pull this goddamn up.
I know he didn't putt well, and I know he didn't really scramble well either.
Yeah, he did, right? And he was still there. Like, he was still there. I don't know, man. This is just a gut call. Like, whatever. It really is. Like, when I watched him on Sunday, I was like, man, if he just played half as good as he normally does, like, he would have won that. Homo wouldn't have. You know what I mean? He was so bad out of the sand and around the green that day and putting, like, it just wasn't there for him. And he was still right there. Like, he still kept himself in it.
Okay. I mean, for the tournament, he gained about 4 strokes around the greens, but you're right. On the final round, it wasn't as bad as you thought. He only lost 0.1 strokes. Okay. It wasn't as bad what you thought, at least on paper. And I know you don't trust that. His putting was bad. He lost 1.3 strokes putting in round 4. Yeah, that's a really good amount. Like, I think, didn't he hit it to like 20, like 15 feet on 17, and then he left it like 5 feet short on the eagle putt. That's what really did him in.
Yeah. And like, and he was bad out of the bunkers. Like, he wasn't putting it where he normally puts it. I'm with you. No Homa. I'm not with you at all with Fleetwood. M is interesting because he's so chalky. It's almost like it's not worth it to me.
But remember, in DFS
though.
But chalk above 8K has been working.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, and this, these are good players. Now you're just fading good players.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. Yeah. I'm not playing Neiman though. He's too, like, I'm just not.
Okay. I don't know.
That's it. And what, you didn't talk about your boy Scotty.
I did mention Scotty. I said I was concerned about the fact he's not very good on fast greens, but everything else I like about him, he's a great scrambler.
Yeah. And this is a no cut event. So he can have a bad Friday. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And come back. That's a dude who's going to score.
No, I know. I agree. I mean, like, maybe you just convinced me there. I see that really, I see it going maybe a little poorly on the greens for him, But yeah. I mean, everything else looks great. I mean, he's great around the greens, great off the tees, longer hitter. I think he has good control over his ball flight off the tee too. So that's a plus. Good on Bermuda. So yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot to like. I agree with that.
Okay. Yeah. I was surprised you didn't talk more about it. Cause I feel like for DFS, maybe not, you know, maybe not a top five, maybe not even a top 10 for the betting market, but like DFS, I feel like that's a guy who can have a blow up fucking hole and, or round even, and still score enough birdies to put outpace his finishing position. Let's put it that way. As far as points go.
I'm with you on that one.
Okay. All right. So, 7K, way too many to talk about them all. So who went first last time?
I went first because I talked for about 15 minutes. So we're gonna go with you first. We're gonna put the spotlight on you.
All right. So I'll just pick out a couple guys that I like out of here. So I like my boy Usti. I mean, hard, long golf course makes me think of a major. Dude shows up. Like, the only thing that worries me, like always with him, is withdrawing. And I don't know how good he is on Bermuda.
He's been okay.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, so I mean, tee to green, he's been okay.
Yeah, he's fine. He's not long. He's not long, though. That scares me a little bit.
No, his ball strikes have been bad, too. It's been all putting lately. Like, it was all putting at Phoenix. It was all putting at Torrey.
Yeah.
So, I mean, over his last 50 rounds, he's gaining half a stroke putting, which is mind-boggling.
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah.
So...
all right. So I like him a little bit, and just obviously personal bias with him. All right. Getting there. I've heard some buzz about Rose. He finished what, top five in Saudi or something like that?
Finished second.
I have no feelings on Rose. I just don't like him. So it's hard for me to make it, but I like Leishman again. I mean, good correlation on the courses, has been playing a hell of a lot better. At 7,400, a proven guy like that, I'll take it all day. I want you to talk to me about the McIntyre guy when I'm done, because I could definitely be talking to him at the low ownership he's at. And Shane Lowry and Jason Kokrak, I like both of those guys. Okay. I like them both. And especially when, like, Kokrak's such a natural pivot off of Palmer at whatever the fuck he's going to be, 19-20%. And he played fine last weekend, and dude, he's won a tournament since the fall, and he's long, and if his putter can get hot, it's fine. I don't remember how hard that course was that he won out in Vegas, that random oasis.
Shadow. It was okay. I mean, it had some Augusta National comps.
Yeah. So those are the guys I like in here. I like Kokrak for a pivot off of Palmer. I like Leishman, cause I think he's undervalued, and I guess I'll go with Louis just for old time's sake. Guys, I'm fading Wolf, and Palmer. Like, listen, we have to stick to it. It's been 5 weeks in a row. The chalk in the 7K range blows up.
Okay. All right. I mean, I like Jason Day and Justin Rose up at the top there. I mean, now we have Tiger's injury. I mean, Jason Day is a good buddy of Tiger too. So
I didn't know they were close.
Yeah, they're very close. I think when Tiger like was really going through like the chipping yips and everything, like Jason Day was one of the only guys like there for him. So they're pretty close. But taking all that out of it, I mean, like the ball striking is really streaky. I don't know what we're gonna get T3 by Jason Day, but I do know that he can get up and down for anywhere. He's a good putter. So, I mean, he's kind of like a poor man's Patrick Reed, but about $1,500 less. He has good history at a lot of the Jack courses, like done pretty well at, you know, Murfield Village. You know, he did really well at Bay Hill. I mean, that's an Arnie course, but I think it's a Corley course. Quail Hollow, he's done well at. That's a close comparison to this too. So, you know, I like him. You know, Justin Rose, I mean, he's been striking the ball really well lately. Problem is, he's been really, really dodgy on and around the greens. And it's not just like a short-term thing. This is kind of a 2-year problem for Justin Rose now. So that's a little bit of a concern, but I mean, if I want consistent ball striking, I know he has good course history at like some of these bigger like events too. Now, I mean, that was like also like 5-10 years ago. I don't know if that's really the Justin Rose we're going to get, but I can see it with him. I'm with you on Leishman too. I mean, the ball striking has been pretty good. I mean, he like, He's been good on these tougher golf courses. I think, you know, for the price point, that's fine. I'm with you on Shane Lowry as well. I think that's a better pivot than Jason Kokrak, actually. I don't like Jason Kokrak at all this week. I think he is a type that, like, he needs, I think, a big runway to land on for some of his drives. And I could see it going really sideways for him too at this course. Okay. And he rode a very hot putter last week, did not hit the ball very well. So I don't see that carrying forward this week. He also doesn't putt very well on fast greens. I think that's going to hurt him this week. So there's two Euros in this range who I like. Let's start with Robert McIntyre, your boy. Awesome ball striker.
Yeah, it's awesome. Yeah,
tough guy. I mean, I remember when he was in 2019 Open Championship, he was, he finished fourth, but he was paired with Kyle Stanley, and Stanley sent a ball like into the gallery and he didn't call four, and Robert McIntyre lit him up. Now this is like 21-year-old Robert McIntyre going after Kyle Stanley. What? Yeah. He was yelling at him. He was chopping. He's like, why didn't you say four? Like, look at all these people over there. So I got a lot of respect for him. Like
I'm Googling like, that like, right now.
Yeah. The problem
is, how did I miss that?
I mean, this is 2 years ago. You don't remember what happened last week. So, I mean, he's not that great of a scramble. Like all of his stats are European tour like stats. So, I mean, first of all, it's against weaker fields. Like I think he won the Cyprus Open, but it was against like nobody. So, I mean, he's not that great of a scrambler over there, and he has zero history on any of the correlated golf courses I talked to. So he is he's a complete unknown. So I like him. I like him a lot. I can also see it going really, really, really wrong for you. So I think there's a way maybe you can get him like in betting, but not DFS. Maybe you don't want to use him. And then Christian Bezaden, who I've heard his name a little bit, so that kind of scares me. Like he's like the secret that everybody thinks is a secret. And now that's out. I mean, I thought he was going to be my own secret, but he's not going to be. But I mean,
so now fuck that guy. Yeah,
but the positives on him is good iron play. He's a good scrambler. And he's a really good putter too. And he's good on these fast greens. And he only has 12 rounds at like Bay Hill and PGA National, but he did pretty well with them last year. He actually, I think he was like one off the lead at TPC Sawgrass before they shut it down because of COVID. So I like him too. The problem is I think some people are starting to flock to ownership there, and that kind of scares me a little bit. So, but those are guys I like. I mean, I think I wanted to like Palmer, but
yeah,
if everybody's
the same way,
I can't do it. I mean, there are ways to poke holes in him too. Like, I mean, he's not very good at fast green. He's not very good on.
And there's water on the course. He's gonna
find there's it. A lot of water. Although, I mean, he's been good at PGA National, and there's a lot of that's water. True. Harris English is also the other one that people like, and we'll save him for later too. But I mean, that's about it. I don't like Wolf or Bubba. I was disappointed that both are in matchups paired together this week.
I know.
They both and. Now I'm just not going to even touch that because I think both of them suck, and that's it. But I mean, do you have any thoughts about Kisner and Horschel at the bottom of this range? Like a couple of short knockers, anything? It's something.
So I always like Kis on a payday, right? Just because of his comments on it, like whatever he said. Like, well, if you know you can't win, why do you come here? Because they pay me very well to come in 20th, right? Like, fucking Christ. Like, that's a guy who is packing out, hustling, and when he gets cut. Like, that's a dude who likes his money. But this is a long course, man. And you might be able to short knock your way around it. I don't know. I just feel like, no, I'm out on him. And then Billy Ho, I can never get a fucking read on. I always tell you to give me a read on him. I literally can never get a read on that guy. Like, I don't know what it is about him, but I just can't figure him out.
Yeah, I mean, just looking at the stats in front of me, I mean, neither really pop off the page. Like, I would like Kisner if he wasn't such a bad scrambler. Like, I think that's kind of a myth about him. Like, people are like, oh, you know, tough guy, can scramble from anywhere and get, you know, sink putts. And he's not that good of a scrambler. So, at least on paper.
Yeah.
So,
right.
I think I'm out on Bull, too. I'm out on Ortiz, too.
Me, too. He fucked me last week.
Yeah, I mean, the ball striking's too loose. And I know he's a good scrambler, good putter, but.
Yeah, but the putting you said last week, it had to regress, and it did.
It did, and so. Yeah, so I think we, and then, I mean, I already mentioned, I'm off of Matthew Wolf, So
yeah, no one's on both, which is crazy because, like you said, he has no idea where the ball's going, and there's just a shit ton of trouble off the tee.
Oh my guys. I mean, like, I wish like I could still bet like a miscut prop on him just out of principle, or like a withdraw. Like, yeah. I mean, like, yeah. Ooh, third round, like he shoots like 78, 82, 79 with yeah. WD.
I want somebody to pull out because he was the first alternate. I need somebody to catch Ronald like me and fucking and have to withdraw.
No, it's a guaranteed paycheck is if you just hit your opening tee shot. No one's.
Yeah, no. All right, so the 6K range. Obviously, we're not going to go through all these fucking guys, right? So the chalky guys we already talked about: Lanto, Answer, Munez. Listen, it's everybody who's name recognizable down here, including. Almost an 8% 6,200 EVR because he was a fucking DFS darling for however long. And he's going to show up and people are going to click him no matter how terrible he's been.
If there is a water hazard, EVR will find it. That is, I don't know what they're doing. Like, yeah. Have they been watching the, like what he's been doing? Like
no.
He is a triple bogey machine. Oh, and yeah. This golf course has like, 12 holes where you can get triple bogey.
Yeah, absolutely. So what's crazy to me, the ownership that stands out to me down here with the name recognition is Woodland at 6% at this price.
He has been awful too.
But why has he been awful? Like, I feel like, is it just
literally everything?
Is it everything?
Everything. Like, over his last 16 rounds.
He looked good. He looked good. For at least a round, if not two rounds, two or 3 weeks ago.
Okay. Maybe it was 2 weeks ago. I mean, his last putting performance, he lost 4 strokes putting over two rounds.
That's not great.
That's not great. Over his last 16 rounds, he's lost about 0.7 strokes ball striking. That's not great. He's not scrambling well. Like, so I have a spreadsheet and I color code everything. And red is usually good. Blue is bad. And his is all blue. All blue in relation to everybody. So I do not want any part of him. I think people are flocking to him because $6,800 and his name's Gary Woodland.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, I figured it would be higher. Right. And that's why like 6% was kind of low. I guess it's because he's, you know, sucked donkey dick lately. I mean, down here, I do like Munez. He seemed like he's trying to round back into fall form. That sounds like I'm talking myself into it because I am.
Ball, like, ass last week.
I know.
Yeah.
Listen, man, at this point, you're just grasping at straws to talk yourself into whoever you can get down here. So this is where I need help, where I've heard people's names. And I need, like, Rasmus Højgaard. Okay. And then who's the other one? Where the fuck did he go? Oh, there's two of them. Thomas Dietrich. And then I heard somebody talking about David Lipsky.
Okay.
Who's the stone minimum at 6K.
David Lipsky, I don't know much about. I can tell you a little bit about Højgaard. I can tell you a little about Dietrich. And yeah. I can tell about one other guy who I like too.
Come on.
Okay. So Højgaard played pretty well over in the Middle East. He had 2 top 10s. He did it all off the tee with his putting, though. I mean, like, and kind of looking at his career, I mean, it's a young career, but his approach game and scrambling isn't really that good. So I don't love that. I mean, I think he did actually play. Didn't he play like Bermuda or something randomly? Or was that someone? That might have been someone else.
No, I actually think you're right.
He did play Bermuda. He finished 237.
I was going to say, I think you're right, because I think I said something about his name.
Yeah. So, I mean, like, I kind of looked at him too because he had those good finishes. But, you know, I mean, not being able to hit your irons well, not being able to scramble well, I don't love that. I mean, as far as Thomas Dietrich, I think he's been kind of struggling a little bit too. Like, let me pull him up here as a recent result. Yeah, so in the Middle East, he went cut, T9, and then T53. So, not awesome. I mean, he doesn't hit his irons very well. He scrambles pretty well, though. So, I mean, he's a big Belgian guy. I'm surprised that, you know, I mean, I'm surprised, you know, you should probably put an outright on him and then an outright on Peters, you know, just go full Belgian this week because they're both tall Belgian. By the way, they look exactly the same.
They do look the same. And I was thinking about dicking around with a couple double results with Peters And then, you know what's fun? In the Puerto Rico Open, for those who don't know what the fuck we're talking about, we just shifted gears to the Puerto Rico Open. So there's another shitty tournament going on the same time this is going on. And you could bet on that, too. And maybe we can throw some stuff in the Slack if we have time.
No, I spend way too much time breaking down this golf course. You guys are on your own for Puerto Rico. I mean, if they don't have Shot Tracker, I don't really give a shit.
But Matt Wallace is in that field. Like, how doesn't that guy just run away?
Brandon Grace is in that field.
I know. I saw that, too. But
Iliana Griot's in that field.
Yeah, I saw Griot. So I was thinking about dicking around with a couple of double results with Griot. And Wallace is a solid player. Like, what the fuck is he doing there?
Y'all know your boy Rob Oppenheim is going to win that.
He's not winning that.
He probably is. That's usually the type of player who usually wins.
Yeah.
I mean, Halba and Finau are the most famous ones, but it's like Marty Traynor usually like wins that. Like, just garbage players you never hear from again.
The fact that the fact that Marty Traynor won the damn shitty tournament like that is ridiculous.
Yeah, and I think he missed like 30 cuts in a row after that, but he still has his tour car. I think actually his caddy actually money qualified and beat him in a tournament on one of these things.
So. Oh my God. That's
yeah. He's awesome. He's that bad. He is not a good player. So, all right. So as far as guys, I mean, I'm always a sucker for Lee Westwood. I mean, you know me, like,
I know.
I love that dude. He's just a solid ball striker.
6,900.
That's kind of a little binky of mine. Like, seeing that there, I'm like, all right, let's go, Lee. I mean, he was not very good in this most recent Middle East stretch.
It was good when I bet him fucking when he was over here the last time either. He missed the fucking cut.
Didn't he make the cut at Wingfoot? Or maybe it was the Masters. He didn't do very well.
That's right. You're correct.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. You know, another Euro, like Bernd Wiesberger. I mean, he's a solid ball striker in this range, good scrambler. You know, I mean, like, he finished T12 at RSM after the Masters, so I know he can kind of get it done over here. He played pretty well in the Middle East, too. I mean, just if you look at some of his fantasy national stats, they're really ugly. Like, as far as, like, the correlated history or, like, him on fast greens. And he's not a very good putter either, so that's a problem. The Euro I like, though, that is under the radar is Laurie Cantor. And he's a big Englishman. Like, he hits it really far. He's a good ball striker, too. I mean, not that great of a putter, but you know what? I mean, like, if I see good ball striking down here and he can hit it a long ways, and like, he gains a lot of strokes off the tee. So, and I think some of it's actually, it's a good combination of length and accuracy. So, I mean, he's completely unproven, but
how did he get into the field then?
I think he's in the top 20 in the race to Dubai right now. So that's how they guys are. I mean, that's why you see like JC Ritchie is like this Australian like tour player guy. He's in the field. Like there's all these different order of merits from all the different golf federations that they have getting in. So, I mean, the bottom half of this field is complete trash. So it's no wonder people are, you know, 20% going to Lanto Griffin just because, you know, they know the name. But I think of the like popular PGA Tour guys, I like Kevin Na the best. And I mean, he's been hitting the ball pretty well. He's a good scrambler. And
he's so short, though.
It doesn't matter. I mean, he was short and he did okay at Riviera last week. Yeah, so, I mean, I know like he's a good iron player. He can scramble, he can putt.
Yeah,
that's good enough for me.
Yeah, that's a guy who can, if his putter gets hot, he can just.
Yeah, and he's been hitting the ball pretty well. I mean, he's gaining about like 0.6 strokes with his ball striking, which is actually pretty good for Kevin. Now, usually he just gets it all, you know, on the green. So,
you don't want to go with your boy Cam Champ?
It is a disgrace, by the way, that Cam Champ's in this field and Jordan Spieth isn't. How the hell did that happen?
Yeah, or Siwoo Kim.
I know. I mean, it's that stupid. Like, if you made the tour championship last year, you get into this WGC. That's a joke.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, even like Sebastian Munoz, he shouldn't be here.
Nah, he definitely shouldn't.
He should. So,
I figured I'd tweak you a little bit.
No, hard pass. I mean, he can black. You know what? He can blast it all over the yard. You know, we'll see what happens. You know, maybe he'll set the record for highest score on a hole. You know,
nice. All right. So before we get to the big shot, the one and done, I gotta let you know. Listen, Better Than Vegas. It's like YouTube, but for what degens only care about sports betting. The best part is you'll be able to get free video picks from the SGPN crew. Make sure to subscribe to the SGPN page, sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV, so you don't miss any of our videos. And if you're subscribed, you'll get a notification every time a new video is posted. So go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV to subscribe to our Better Than Vegas page today. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/BTV. Oh, there we go. All right.
What happened?
I don't know. I hit the mute button. All right. So give us your big short.
All right. Well, I purposely skipped over him earlier in the seventh.
Yeah, you gotta stop telegraphing that.
Okay. So it's chalky 7K guys, and I'm not gonna go Palmer because I like the ball striking. I think even though he's pulling like 18% ownership, it's hard for me to get away with that. But I'll go with the other chalky option because I've heard he's been the first name out of like all the show's mouths. He's got popular ownership too. And I don't like the direction of his game. It's Harris English. And the only reason why I think he's popular is because it's Bermuda. And they're like, oh, Harris English, Bermuda. But I like kind of like with Webb Simpson, like the Bermuda golf courses he does well at are the short knocker ones. So, you know, Sea Island, Sedgefield, Wailea, all those types of places. At the bigger ones, like the big boy golf courses, he hasn't been very good. Like, and his ball strike has been bad. Like, he was really bad at Torrey Pines. He was really bad at Phoenix, too. That's alarming. And I mean, maybe like he finally won. Like, did he kind of like take the, you know, foot off the pedal a little bit? You know, now that he knows he's got tour status, he won a lot of money. Now he's got like job security. I don't know. So I think he's going to be a big bust this week. He's chalky in this range. I think he's going to finish outside the top 30 and be pretty, you know, not helpful to lineups.
Huh? So, I like it.
And you hate that guy. So you love that it's a big short.
I do. I really do, which means he's fucking going too well. All right. So for one and done, I'm going to let you start because I am the fucking worst at one and done.
You are bad. You went right back to being terrible.
Right back to it. Who did I want to pick other than Rory?
I forget.
Me too. But it would have been better.
I think you only had one. I think you went right to Rory.
Did I go right to Rory?
Yeah,
maybe.
Yeah.
All right, so I already have somebody for you that I know you're not going to play. And this is for the Mayo one, which is already fucking lit up money. So whatever. It's just going to be a spike campaign for me on that. And then our one and done will be different, but I'll let you go ahead and work it through.
Okay. You got to burn a big name here. There's a lot of money on the line. A big favorite is probably going to win. Got to go big or go home. So, I mean, looking at the spectrum here, I ended up falling in love with Patrick Cantlay this week. And it's hard for me to find a flaw in this guy. Just like, I mean, I love where the ball striking's at. I love the Jack Nicklaus, you know, doing well in his golf courses angle. He's really improved as a scrambler. He's a really good putter too. I mean, I think more wins are in his future this year. I think it starts this week. So Cantlay is my one and done pick. And that was actually like looking over it, it kind of was easier than I thought coming to it. So okay. That's my guy.
Okay. I'm going with Xander.
Smart pick.
Cause if my curse works, great. I get to waggle it in front of your face and tell you he sucks. And if it works, then whatever.
Yeah, as you take a zero. So there you go. Although, you know what? It's Gary, you know what?
I can't take a zero this week. I can't take a zero.
There you go. You will advance a little bit.
Exactly. Hey, look, and while I shit on him, I mean, fuck, what was it? The first time he's finished outside like the top five or top 10 in like, I don't know, however many events. Like,
yeah, he was invisible last week. He finished like T15.
Yeah, but it's the same thing with Rahm. Like, he was out of contention. You look at the leaderboard, you're like, holy shit, my bet's still alive. Where the fuck did he come from? You know what I mean? It's the same shit.
So, I mean, Xander didn't play very well last week, and he's still able to eke that out. I think he bounced it back. So, all right.
Cool.
I like it.
I like yours as well. I already burnt Cantlay and R1 and done. Who'd you take? You took DJ last week, right?
I took DJ, and I'm a little disappointed, but you know what? Yeah.
whatever.
Didn't hurt me. Yeah.
I thought about taking DJ.
He gags on Sunday.
But the thing with him is like once he realizes that he's not going to win, he's like, ah, fuck it. You know what I mean? Like, that's the risk with a guy like that.
That was disappointing. I was hoping for at least a top five, and it looked like he was going to at least finish like inside of there. And
yeah, but his stupid brother kept telling him the wrong way to putt. All right, so I don't have any first round leaders yet.
I'll be honest, I'm not even going to touch it.
I think the odds are so short. Like
new golf course with big strong field. Good luck, boys.
Yeah, I think I'm out too. And the odds are stupid short. Like it's not even the fun of it. You know what I mean? Like for me to get the odds that I'd like to gamble on anyway, I got to take fucking Andy Sullivan at plus 9,000. Fuck out of here. Like, yeah. Like it's not happening. All right. So sorry,
Moonoff.
You can supply the Slack channel with your picks.
I'm not even gonna bother. It's fine. Yeah.
So, I mean, I'll still probably sprinkle.
All right. So then where do you want to start with the betting card then?
Let's do the one you were talking about that you're trying to keep a secret. That you said I might like.
Okay. All right. So I've been getting into these nationality props lately.
Yeah. I like those.
And, there's one I really like. And I may have mentioned earlier that I want to like him, but he's such a knucklehead. I don't want to get too invested in him. But
talk about him.
Yeah. So you get top Asian for Sungjae Im at minus 110. And it's basically a head-to-head then between him and Hideki, because there's another guy in there who is going to finish probably dead last. So, and I have zero faith in Hideki this week. I don't think I think these greens are going to befuddle him. And the ball striking just isn't as good as what it used to be. So I'm just going to take Sungjae low Asian minus 110, and that's where my money on Sungjae will be this week.
Dude, I love it.
Yeah.
I fucking love it. I'm going to go bet that right now.
All right. There's another one too. The problem is like in order to like make money, you're going to have to bet a lot on it. So there's low South African and it's going to come down to Louis or Bazenhout. Like, I mean, I think EDR
is what's the juice.
So it's like plus 150 on Louis plus 225 on Bazenhout.
Plus 150. I thought you were about to give me a fucking number with a minus in front of it.
No.
I love that one too.
So you can, it's probably one of those guys are going to be the low South African. Cause the other guys just, they're trash. Like you have the guys from the South, from the Sunshine Tour, yet EVR, who I do not like at all for this golf course. No. Bunch of our guys just aren't going to do well. It's probably going to be those two as low South African. You're not going to make a whole lot of money, but if you bet both, you'll make a little bit. So,
but for bets like that, like I bet bets like that, like I bet football. Right. you know what I mean?
I mean, probably like between the two, it's probably like minus. I don't know if he put it in odds calculator.
It's plus money because if you're doing
well, you're basically parlaying both.
Right.
Then.
Yeah, it's still plus money because you got plus 150 on one side, minus 110 on the other side. It's plus money.
I like that one too, but you'll probably have to bet both those guys. And then, I mean, if EVR ends up winning it, then you're really fucked.
There'll be a way to hedge at some point as that train disaster is fucking derailing. Probably, if that's happening,
probably like live top 10 or something.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So I guess let's go to matchups and we'll go, top 10s, top 5, top 20s, markets this week, boys. The price isn't there. Fuck that. It's not worth it. Find it in matchups. Find it somewhere else.
Okay.
At least that's my opinion.
All right. I mean, I got a couple of top 10s and top 20s, but we'll talk about them later. So, so the first one I'm going to start with, Daniel Berger minus 115 over Webb. I already said I really like Berger this week. I like him coming off the break. I think he's a good fit for this golf course. And I have some hesitancies about Webb. I think the Bermuda angle with him is a little overrated just because, you know, I mean, I look at this tee to green. And I don't see Webb, at least how he's striking the ball. And I've seen the putting woes on some of these faster Bermuda greens that gives me pause. So I like him there. You get Will Zalatoris minus 125 or Max Homa. I think Zalatoris is.
You're killing me, bro.
What do you mean?
I got to cross two off already.
All right. Well, then.
No, you're fine. Just keep going.
All right. So Zalatoris minus one. So I like Zalatoris this week. I don't like Max Homa. I'm going to go with that. And then I say that he wasn't my big short because I think a lot of guys are out on him. But I am really out on Bryson this week. Ooh. And there are, and listen, like, can he carry over a lot of the trouble if he's hitting it well? Yeah, sure. But his misses are really big. And that means he's going to make big numbers probably multiple times this tournament. And what have we known about Bryson? When you get him around these tricky, like, with these golf courses with really tricky areas around the greens, he just wilts. So I don't like him at all this week. I don't understand, like, anybody who would want to go on him. So there's a lot of, you know, matchups on him. Like, I think Tony Finau is matched up on him. You can get Brooks Koepka at like plus 135 over Bryson. Ooh. The one I like, though, is you get Hovland minus 110 over Bryson. That's the one I'm on.
Man, and how weird does it feel to pay juice for Hovland over Bryson?
Here's the thing. On this book, Bryson's actually the favorite at minus 120. This is one where like both sides is minus 115.
Ah, okay, that's fine.
So it's minus 110 over Hovland. Technically, it's the underdog.
And what do we say, class? Juice only matters if you lose, right?
Right. I mean, I really like Hovland this week. I love his consistent ball striking. I think Bryce is going to hit it all over the fucking planet. And while on some holes, like we saw at Augusta National, like on hole number 10, he bombed it on the fairway, hit 3 feet. They ended up missing the birdie putt. And then the very next hole on 11, he put it in the woods.
Yeah.
So yeah. I think that's going to happen to him a lot this week. And right. In order for Bryson, I think, to win, he needs to drive the ball perfect. And I don't think right now he can do that.
All right. I like it. I do like that. That's ballsy. So I'm on the first two that you're already on. I got Lowry over Sergio, plus 125.
What book did you find that on? Well, you know, tell me offline.
Yeah, well. I got Rose over Fleetwood, plus 115.
That's not a good... All right.
Listen, bro, I'm telling you right now, Fleetwood is trash. Fuck your Eurostats. Like, what did he do this last... What's his best placement in the last four European finishes?
You keep talking, I'll find out.
Okay, fair enough. And then... I also, just going with our narrative as far as like the 7K chalk blows and you got to avoid it at all costs, I went Leishman over Palmer at plus 115. I tried to get a little juicier bets this week to throw on the pod, try to stick with the plus money stuff.
Okay. All right. So you want Fleetwood's best finish over how long?
I don't know. Fucking last four events. I don't give a shit.
Last four events? You finished T7 in Abu Dhabi.
Okay.
All right. He also finished T2 at the Scottish when he lists like a two fitter to extend the playoff. Not great.
Oh no. Yeah. Listen, I still don't care. With something about America, he comes over here, he gets scared because he's English and he's afraid of us. And yeah, that's it. America.
So you take another Englishman over him. Good job.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. No, wait. Oh, no, did I take over him? Oh, I just take Rose over.
Yeah.
I was like, wait, no. I was like, no, Lowry's not English. all right. So do you got any top tens, top fives you like?
I do. Actually, I think the top tens are some good ones I like.
I think top 10's okay.
Top 20s. That one's not as great, but I got a couple. Mm-hmm. So Victor Hovland, top 10 plus 225. I don't think this is gonna be the one he wins, but he proved me wrong last week.
He went
to a really hard golf course and he showed up. And that gives me a lot of faith in that he can go to Kiowa and, you know, chip around those greens. And I think he can do it around here too.
Did we tell them to bet that yet?
What's that?
Did we tell them to bet that yet?
Tell who?
The people listening.
Everybody?
The fuck?
No.
Who do you think?
No, that was our little secret. So sorry. We're both on Victor Hovland to win Kiowa. If you can go find like 41 on him, go bet it. Which we'll explain why when we go to the PGA Championship.
Exactly. Yeah. Got the number now.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm high on Joaquin Neiman, so I know he's chalky for DFS, but you can get plus 325 for a top 10. I'm not concerned with the weekend how that went for him. I just think that was kind of a blip. I mean, I think the wind got the best of him that, you know, over the weekend.
Yeah.
I think he'll bounce back a little bit. I like him here. And then again, you're gonna hate me. Tommy Fleetwood, top 10, plus 350.
I mean, you're just lighting your money on fire.
Fine. But I think he's going to have, I think he's going to have a good finish this week. I like what I saw in the Middle East from him. I like the fall Euro Tour stats. I think the narrative that he just comes to America and is scared is bullshit. And I think he's going to finish like T6 and shove in your face this week.
Absolutely not fucking happening.
All right.
Not fucking happening. Fucking, he'll play well on Thursday. He might even play well on Friday. And then he's going to run diarrhea down his leg on fucking Saturday and then just play mediocre on Sunday. And that's the best case scenario.
Okay. All right. So you don't have any top tens?
Oh, I do. I like the top tens. So I got Hatton. It's cheap, whatever. Plus fucking 190 is where I can find it. I'm also on Hovland. I got plus 220, not plus 225. Same difference. Exactly. I got Cam Smith at plus 350. Once again, I told you I'm enamored with this guy. It's 100% gut call, man. This is it. I mean, it 100% gut call. Like what I saw out of him on the weekend. I think he could have played better on Sunday. And then I like my long shot with Leishman at plus 600 for a top 10.
That's not bad. I like
that. The number enticed me. You got any top fives?
I only got two. No. Okay. I'm not in top fives.
So I did Rahm at plus 200. And then I did your boy Hovland at plus 400.
So you doubled up on Hovland.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting.
I'm with you, man. I love Hovland this week. Just don't know if you can.
I think that's interesting. You went top five and top 10.
Yeah. Whatever, man. Fucking.
All right. Okay. I don't love doing top fives. I mean, like that can get dead heated really easily. I'd rather just do top 10 because you might end up getting
I don't think the place I'm using now, I don't know about the new place, but the place where I still got some cash in there because it's paying the dick to take money out. I didn't get dead heated on the ROM. So.
Oh, there you go. I got dead heated on, Connell Euro. That wasn't great, but some people didn't. So
yeah, fucking Christ.
Yeah, so top 20s don't look great. There are a couple guys plus odds I like. So Scotty Scheffler, top 20 plus 120.
That's not too bad.
Will Zalatoris plus 150 top 20. Love him too. And then I just had to because I ride hard for this guy. Robert McIntyre, top 20 plus 260.
All right, I'm gonna write that one down.
The problem is, I love doing top 20s that are like 5-1, 4-1.
Oh, absolutely. Those are the fun ones.
The bottom of the barrel guys this week. Yeah. And I want nothing to do with them.
On this course that we have no idea how it's going to play. It's either going to play minus 12 or 25 under. Who the fuck knows?
Because it's WGC, it's four rounds. The cream is going to rise to the top.
Yeah.
I don't have any faith in those guys.
No.
Like, not even being in the top 20, but not even being in position like where it's just dead heat into oblivion. So,
right. All right. So, listen, before we give the outrights and sign off, I got to do the last bit of housekeeping, man. Listen, BettorEdge is a stock exchange for sports bets. It allows you to buy and sell betting positions like the stock market. The best part is it allows you to bet with no vig. That's right, no vig. And since you're buying positions from other sports bettors, there's no house. And you can play for money in up to 40 states. All right. It's sports betting without the VIG, and you can literally cannot beat it. So sign up at betteredge.com and use promo code SGP for a free $10 bet. That's BETTOREDGE.com, promo code SGP. I'm starting to work them in a little earlier towards the end instead of like just dumping them at the end. I'm sure that makes them happier.
They come for the outright bets, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's
the best to last.
That's it, man. All right. So,
prime ad placement right there.
That's right. That's absolutely correct. All right. So, real quick, off on a little side note, when you listen to like other like golf podcasts, do you listen at like 1.5 speed, 2 speed? What are you listening to?
Regular speed. I'm a podcast junkie. I just have it on when I work.
Working, like, I can't actually like retain a ton of information because like I'm working, right? So it's mostly in the drive time for me. And so I listened to it at 1.5. And I was thinking about it today, like, how fast must I sound at 1.5?
I mean, honestly, if I want to mess with the speeds, I usually do it half speed just so everybody.
Oh my God.
That's actually kind of entertaining for about 2 minutes. And they're like,
all right, back to normal. Yeah. I listen to like story podcasts, like, or like an interview I want to hear at like one, but if it's like the other golf gambling podcast type stuff, like it's 1.5. Like, all right, who are you guys talking about? what's your reasoning for it? That's why you're dumb. Cool. Move on. Right. So, all right. Sorry for that tangent. All right. So outrights, man, how many you got down?
I have five and that's it.
All right. What you got?
So I already said Patrick Cantlay is my one and done. I have an outright on him. I got him at 20-1. He's been bet down to 18. Some shops at 16.
Yeah, I'm still seeing 18.
I still like him. That's my bet. I like him. I think Xander's going to get it done this week too. I think he's so due. Like if you look at like some of the data golf, like stats on, I know you hate the stats on this, but like they calculate something called expected wins over the last 2 years. He's expected to have like 3 wins. That's a lot. Mm-hmm. And at some point, just the way he's playing, like, I mean, kind of like a Finau last week, like he's put himself in a position. Eventually it's going to happen. I think Xander's going to put himself in a position this week at a golf course that I like him real a lot at. I think he can get it done, and it's 16-1. It's not crazy. Like we've seen him at like 12-1, like 14-1. Like this is a little higher than what he had been. So,
yeah. Okay.
So, and then, I mean, I saw Brooks at 28-1. I'm on him just cause, yeah. I mentioned that I don't like Patrick Reed for DFS for the reasons I said. I like him for an outright. I got him at 30-1. Listen, it's a hard golf course. I mean, if you want to make the case that like Patrick Reed can't play well with a bunch of water in penal areas, well, he won a Doral, and
for real,
that course, there's water every 5 feet. Yeah, so that was also 7 years ago. But listen, I mean, I at least can point to something.
Yeah, man.
Just by my mind.
You grab on what you need to make that narrative work, homie. That's what I do.
Yeah, and then I mean, I kind of regret putting this, you know, because. Now that Tiger got injured, I don't know how this is great, but I put a little bit on Jason Day at 55-1. Okay. I mean, just the fact that like the ball striking has been so up and down, but if I can get an up week for Jason Day at a Nicklaus course where he's had a good track record before, the scrambling and putting is so good. And like, and maybe I got caught up with like when I put up the stat of like what you actually need to get done in order to win.
Yeah.
Like I was debating between Jason Day and Justin Rose for like that kind of longer shot. I mean, realistically, someone probably under 30-1 is going to win.
Yeah, though.
The top edge is probably 55-1, and I've already said, like, it's got to be kind of like a decorated player. So I end up going with Jason Day on it just because I think he can actually do the putting in order to get it done. Justin Rose, I don't have the faith that he can do it there. So Day, I threw a little bit of long shot on, but that's it.
Yeah, man. I like that narrative on Day. I just don't trust him. I 100% follow your line of thinking, and I definitely get it.
Right, but I mean it's not right.
Yeah,
it doesn't play. So, it doesn't play.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So we are on. Well, let's see. So I threw JT at 18-1 just because of the number. I mean, fuck. When the hell is the next time we're gonna see that? Right. So throw it on it. And I got Brooks at 28-1. Hatton 20-1. I said I had Berger at 31 last night, but I actually had Brooks at 28-1. So I had to rebet that during the show. Berger, I got Reed, same thing, 30-1. I actually bet him after the Tiger news. Which is probably
that would be the ultimate suck. Yeah. That Tiger basically his career's over, and then the most hated golfer ends up winning. Like golf media is going to be like that.
Listen, man, sometimes you just want to kick back and watch the world burn, bro.
There you go.
I put an out right on Cam Smith too. He's my long shot. And
all right. Hey, man. You can throw that out on probably Friday.
The lack of faith you have. I mean, he's a fucking good golfer, man.
I know Cam Smith. I know when to get on him. I was on him last week. I know when to get off. And I think he might get off this week.
All right. Listen. Well, I guess we'll find out. I'm tempted to sprinkle a little bit on Hovland because I already have him in top five, top 10. I probably won't.
I think you already got enough.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think I got enough. And did Bryson's number drop? Bryson's at 20 where I'm looking at. Did he start at 18 or 16?
He started at 18. He's at 20.
Wow.
That? No.
Okay. I know. Listen, yeah. It just caught my eye. I was like, wait a second. I don't think that's right. But all right, man. So anything else you want to hit on before we bounce?
I think we covered everybody. Yeah, I mean, literally everybody.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure we fucking did. So listen, for myself, Boston Capper, you can follow me on Twitter, Boston_Capper. You come to the Slack channel. That's at the bottom of all of Steve's articles. And I'm sure it's in our podcast link and Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Come to the Slack channel, come get some knowledge. This is where we typically pivot over the weekend, and we make some hay over the weekend, and we can pivot off some of the stuff we talk about today once we get more knowledge in front of us, especially on a course like this where we have no idea what the fuck is going to happen. But that's why it's gambling, baby. So for Boston Capper and the God of God himself, Steve Sherman, let's break them fucking books, baby. Let's go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.